Just lay down everything of this world before the Lord. Just walk up to Him. And I just feel as I've sung, I just felt Him say that those things that weary us, the things that make us tired, it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to Him. He paid for it. He paid for it and He wants it. He wants us to walk in Him. He wants us to walk in His fullness. He wants us to have His peace in us. He wants us to walk with His light burden, His light yoke. So just come to Him. Just come to Him. Come to the cross. Say, Lord, I want none of this. I don't want this world. I want You.
Yes, God, that is our cry tonight, Lord, is to just to know You, Lord. Because You are the only one that can satisfy us, Lord. We thank You for the freedom that we can walk in because of the cross. Thank You that You are here, Lord, tonight to set us free from all enslavement, Lord, imprisonment, even in our thoughts, Lord. We thank You for that place of just life. Thank You, Lord, that there's a river of life flowing and we can jump into that river tonight. But Lord, we don't just want to jump in. We want to drown in the river of Your life. So we come to surrender all. We pray that in Jesus' name alone. Amen. Thank you, band. What do you call yourself? Girls' band.
Powerpuffs.
The Power Girls. The Worshipping Girls. It's great to be here, and what a privilege. Thank you, Tiens. And it's great to see some old faces, some new faces. You look more beautiful, the old faces, than when you were here last time. The new faces, I can't say anything about you, but in any case, you're welcome here as well. Why don't you just shake somebody next to you and say, you are looking good tonight. I love that smile on your face. Especially the sound people there at the back, you're very... Okay, are you ready tonight? I just want to really say that God is doing amazing stuff all across the world. And I get the privilege to travel around a little bit sometimes. And just to every time when you get to another place and you think, well, what on earth can happen here? Then you see that there are people hungry for God. There are people opening up to God and people that are serving Him with all of their hearts, with all of their minds and all of their soul. And sometimes even when you meet some people, you feel a little bit as unsaved as, you know, you were just before you got to know God. But the most amazing thing is that God is moving everywhere. Scripture says that the whole earth is full of His glory. Hello, the whole earth is full of His glory. And yet when we look in the natural, that's sometimes all we see. But when we look into the spiritual and we begin to ask God, open up my spiritual eyes, you're going to begin to connect with a God that is awesome, a God that has a plan, and that plan is being fulfilled. As we even speak, people all across the world are worshiping Him. Thousands of people are gathering even under bushes and trees and in caves all over. Because even like, I think it was Napoleon that said, you know, there's never been a man so significant as Jesus Christ. He's been around many years before me, he said, but there's not one other man that has made so much impact. And he just looked at the natural because he was part of a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I'm going to speak about a little bit, and I think the whole sermon has been preached through Tiens and lots of people before the time already, just about being hungry for God and especially hungry for the presence of God. Because, you know, sometimes when we live, and especially when we're here in the Church of the West, if I can call it like that, sometimes we get so used to not being used to God showing Himself as a powerful God or God's presence manifesting in our lives and through our lives. And I want to share a little bit around that because it's so important. Because the way that we see God, that is the way that God can actually move in our lives. Our perception of God. So I was on Tuesday, I think it was Tuesday or Monday, I was jogging in London. And when you jog in London, it's not like, yeah, you've got like 5 minutes and then you've got a mountain to jog. And there's like a little park and you jog around the park. And then after that, you realize this is it. You know, then you have to jog around the park again and again and again and again. So after about the 10th time, I was bored. And then I said, okay, Lord, while I'm jogging, don't you want to say some stuff to me? And then he said to me something very specific. He said to me, the next week, every person that you encounter or people that you see or when you preach or when you share with people, you must ask them one question. And I've been asking people that question and I'm going to ask you that same question tonight. Very simple question, but don't be quick to answer. How big is your God? Not how big is the God of the Bible, the God of history, or the God of eternity. Very simply, how big is your God? I want you to think for a moment. Because I've been thinking all week, and I couldn't get an answer. Some people are very quick to answer, and they say, well, huge. Or, you know, lots of words that come up. And then when you say those words, you just think, oh, no, it doesn't fit. Then some people give 10 words and you think, no, it doesn't fit. And some people say the scriptures, you know, he measures the universe in the palm of his hands. And you think, no, we don't really know. But the question is, how big is your God? And that is so nice. When we start to think about that stuff, suddenly if we look at the hugeness of God, then and we put it in proportion to where we are or the challenges in our lives, then we realize, whoa, my challenge is like down there. God is like huge. God is so huge that we can't describe him really, but he came to send his son to us to explain to us a little bit more about his heart, to show us what his heart is so that we in our small minds can try to figure out this huge God. Hello. So sometimes we think we do this massive God a favor by worshiping him. But you know what? Worship doesn't change God. It changes you and I. Because what happens in worship, we begin to see God for who he really is. You begin to speak certain words of who God is in your life so that your eyes can just open up to see. Hello. Are you there at the back? Great stuff. Exodus 33. I love this. Verse 14, 33 verse 14, he says, and he said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. And Moses understood, well, we can do lots of stuff. We can have a deliverance. We can have a salvation out of Egypt. There's lots of stuff that can happen. But Moses understood one thing and he said to God, God, if there's one thing that is valuable in my life, if the one thing that I don't want to exchange for anything else, it's your presence. It's you. It's your voice in my life. The fact that you can speak to me, this almighty God, that I can be your child, I can have a relationship with you. So he said, Lord, you can take all the other stuff away except this one thing, your presence. That's what I'm hungry for. And Lord, it cannot go without your presence. Because God has said at a stage, well, maybe you must go. I'll stay behind. You can go. And Moses just says, no. Lord, that's not going to change anything. We'd rather stay here with your presence than go without your presence. Hello, are you with me tonight? Okay, let's read another scripture. And this is Psalm 16, verse 11. It says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. I love this scripture. It says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. Now, obviously, joy is not like a happiness. It's not a happening. Happiness comes from a happening in our lives. But joy comes from a place of knowing God. And that is why sometimes what we forget, and I want to challenge us, you know, when Scripture talks about the joy of your salvation, there's a place where you're like so excited because you know God. Because you can just hear his voice and you can, the Scripture talks about the wells of salvation that we come to drink from every day, the well springs of salvation. And yet sometimes what happens is we get so complicated, distracted with the things of this world, the cares of this world. But God says, look here, in my presence, there is fullness of joy. So if he talks about fullness of joy, then it says, well, sometimes you're only going to have a third or half a measure. But when you come into my presence, you're going to have fullness of joy. Doing my work, you're going to have some joy. But being in my presence, that is the place where you have fullness of joy. He says, at my right hand are pleasures forevermore. It's like God says, well, I'm a good God and I want to bless you. And I want to show you my goodness. I want to reveal yourself. I want to reveal myself to you in an awesome way. Are you with me? That was a good place to say amen when we read the scripture. Okay. Lock the doors. We're going to be here until we get some like real good amens tonight. Okay, we've got lots of time. There's some intense scriptures that God wrote and John wrote to the church when he was at Patmos in Revelation. We're going to read one of them. So hang on to your seats. Okay, Revelations. It says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. Verse 16, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now God says he wants to give us counsel. I think that is wrong. Revelation 3, eh? Sorry, it's not 13. It says you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you. God says, I want to give you some advice. Now, when God gives us some advice and when God counsels us, would we sort of say, yes, yes, Lord, I'm going to listen. He says, I want you to buy from me gold refined in the fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you might see. God says, look here, I want to exchange something. I want to give you something. But one of the things that I want you to know is I want to anoint your eyes to see. I want to have that salve. It's almost like a rubbing in of that salve because this church, you're actually a little bit blind, he says. You're so focused on the natural and the stuff around you. And then he talks about, just before that, as we read, cold and hot, and I want to vomit you out. It's not like good. It's not the scriptures we put on the wall every second day and we repeat them. The Lord wants to vomit me out because I am a bit cold today. Yeah? No, we like those, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. You know, I'm more than a conqueror through him. We love those scriptures. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Not, Lord, you want to vomit me out. Yeah? I wish that you were rather, not cold or hot. But the Lord says, I want you to come to me because I want to give you something, because you and I can't really see. We sometimes, the Afrikaans, I don't know if it's Afrikaans or English, but it says, we poor-pooring. What is that? Is that Afrikaans or is that English? It's Afrikaans. Yeah, poor-poor, so, okay? It means like you poor-poor, okay? We go on and then we get into cycles of our lives. We just do the same thing and then we sort of, almost like get used to not having that, because our expectation begins to just grow cold, our perception of God. And all I want to do tonight is just to open up and ask the Holy Spirit to open up our eyes to really get a hunger and a thirst for God again, to see him, to experience him, to go do wild things for him. And the reason why I'm sharing that is very simply because God has been challenging me to do that in the past couple of weeks. God has just been saying to me again, but are you trusting me? And I say, yes, God, I'm trusting you. I'm ministering for you. I'm doing lots of stuff for you. And then God says, no, you're not trusting me. When last did you take a risk for me? That if you did not take that risk, or if that thing doesn't, if I don't come through, you'll have lots of egg on your face. Or you'll die. What risks are we taking for God? That's my question. Okay, but here he goes on. He says, as many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. He says, therefore, be passionate and repent. Behold, and now the scripture that we all obviously quote for unsaved people, people that don't know God. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. beautiful picture. He says, look here, and this is for a church. This is for Christians. This is not for unbelievers, this whole scripture. It's written to a church. So he says, look here, there's some stuff in our lives, and especially things that sort of make our hearts grow cold towards God. But he says, the problem is I'm actually standing at the door, and I'm standing on the other side of the door. And I'm knocking, and I want to come in. And the reason why we know that it's Christians is because they could recognize the voice of God. He says, if you hear my voice, then just open up. But you and I must open up the door. And the moment when we open up the door, God says that something is going to happen. He says, we're going to go and sit down and have a nice meal. We're going to have a little bit of a family meal, a nice place of kicking out your shoes under the table and just eating of me, and I am going to eat of you. That's not like, let's have a piece of flesh here or anything like that. But there's a partaking and a communion with God, a place of intimacy. You know, I've got three children. When we sit around the table, the youngest one is 3 years old. And he's got no manners at all. He's normally standing on the chair, throwing food, especially when it's broccoli, he's throwing food back to where it came from if he doesn't like the broccoli. So now we have to train and teach him some manners. Your pastor's kids do that as well, okay? He's just a good unbeliever. Okay. But so now he's standing there. He thinks he's ruling the world, okay, from the place. And then he's very straightforward to say what he likes and what he doesn't like, you know. And kids have got this like openness, and especially when they're at the table, where they're sitting at a place where they feel comfortable, where they're always sitting, and you dare not go and sit on their place because they've been sitting there. And they, you know, eat with their food. The youngest one's name is Josh. But many times when he's like tired and it's like 5 o'clock, especially at dinner time, he goes to sit and then he goes like this and he sits and then he really tries to stay awake and his eyes go like almost shut and then the next moment he just goes like kabam, fast asleep in his food, and he lies straight there, right in his food, and he sleeps, just like, and then we all sit there. And think, well, play till you drop. Yeah. But I love what kids represent when they sit at a table. When my wife and I, when the kids are gone to granny and grandfather and grandmom, and the two of us now sit at the table, it's like we're just checking around all the time. There's no noise. There's no food flying around. There's no sit at your place. Do the, you know, that type of stuff. It's just like everything is just like dead quiet. But it's almost like there's no life. It's almost like there's no celebration, you know, because when the family comes together, when we sit around the table, there's life. There's like an overflowing. There's like everybody gets a chance, hopefully, to speak, and everybody gets celebrated around the table. And we sort of miss the one. Some of the older people here can say, well, you miss your kids when they're not there, and the three kids and one is left. But it's a beautiful picture where Jesus says, in your life, that is what I want. I want to have communion with you. But I want you to eat from me. I want you to come and celebrate me first, and then I'm going to celebrate you. I'm going to begin to unlock things in this relationship that is going to have such a freedom, such an overflowing, because he says what will happen the moment when we sit at the table. The next thing he says, and it sort of feels like it's completely out of context. He says, to him who overcomes, no, just go back. He says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. So he says, the one moment we're sitting at a table here in this life, we're going to have a relationship. And if you understand that that is the basis of what we need to do, is to have communion and have a relationship with one another. When it gets to heaven, you're going to sit with me to rule. And we're going to sit eye to eye and we're going to have some great fun together. Because something is going to be released if you understand that place of relationship. There's going to be a place of overcoming. God says, you're going to be seated. You're going to understand that even what we're doing here is going to happen over there. So it almost feels like out of context, but it's not. Because he says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. It's a beautiful picture of what God has intended us to live by and live in. It's a fullness of life. It's a fullness of relationship with him. But at the beginning, he's sort of a potential with us and with the church that he's writing to, because he's saying, look here, I don't understand lukewarmness. I don't understand in between. Because when I do something, I do it 100%. And when you lock into me, what happens is I give you that same ability to do it 100% again. Because I actually give you the ability to come and eat with me. And then I'm going to eat with you. And it's amazing when you go and read. I've been reading through the book of Revelation and especially all these letters to the churches. Almost every time it says, and Jesus looked with fire in his eyes. Talks about the fire of God's eyes and his eyes looking towards us. And when you look somebody in the eyes, it's sort of, you're connecting with somebody, but it's a place of intimacy. You know, I don't know if, and I've been thinking a lot about this the past couple of weeks, you know, when I speak to you and I look at you, but now I'm a bit distracted. Yeah, let's talk a little bit, but hi Rolf, how are you doing? Yeah, what did you say again? Yes, okay. Hello, Fee. Are you well? Great stuff. It's great to see. Hello, what did you say again? Yes, let's just talk a little bit. Let's have a conversation. I'm really listening to you. Now, husbands, this is a tip. This is a tip, okay? Focus. You know, I always laugh when people that are going to get married, they, you know, and I do lots of weddings. And the most amazing thing, then the guy is sitting there and the lady comes there with a notebook and she tells you all this stuff about the colors of the whatever and the things are going to be and the candles up here and all the detail, all the wonderful, amazing detail. And then the guy, you know, some of them have clicked it and others, they just sit there. They've got that stare, like almost the screensaver that goes on. They're not there. Then I know, oh, give them another 3 weeks. There's going to be some trouble. And then the normal tip that I give when they walk out the door, I just take his arm, walk to the side and say, just notice what she's saying. The blue candles are important. Everything is important. Even if you forget, just pretend that you know what's going on. You're going to be in trouble soon. But you know, it's amazing, especially for us guys. You know, sometimes we like, you know, we can like focus on one thing and then the lady says like all this stuff and then you shoot. And then 3/4 of the way you realize you're in trouble in this conversation because you didn't pick up where it started and what said. Some of the first half of the conversation, now you must get words of knowledge from God as to what's actually happened. How did this thing start? And you know you're in, now all the husbands and the wives, they just like, yeah. All the wives go like this. The husbands just have this stare again, you know, because she's going to say to him after church, you know, didn't I tell you, look at what that man said. You still, you know. But the most amazing thing is communication is a skill, and looking somebody in the eyes talks about that place of intimacy. And yet when it comes to our relationship with God, we are so distracted. There are so many things in our minds and in our souls that keep us away from God so that we can genuinely not focus. So it's a cell phone that rings. It's a thing up there. It's a stuff. Now we want to have quiet time with God, but there's no quiet of quiet time. It's just like all over the place. And especially our minds, they run all over us. And you know what? We need to teach and train ourselves to focus when it comes to a relationship with God. David said it so many times. He said, be still my soul and know that he's God. You must focus your mind. You must come into a discipline. I must come into a discipline to worship God. And you must learn when, even when we worship, that you train your mind to think about Christ, not just about the nice words that we sing. I've got a bit of an imagination, so I just go and read scripture and I think about walking into the throne room of God. I just picture the smoke bombs. I picture the sea, the crystal of glass before God. I see the cherubim and the seraphim waving with the 6 eyes here and the 5 things there. And I just think, wow, you know. And I think God is so huge. But the question is just very simply, how hungry are we for him? Not for the things that he can do. Are we looking him in the eyes? Are you with me tonight? Okay. Lekker. The question is, are we busy? In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, and what are we busy with? And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. It says the one working hard, doing very good stuff even for God. But the other one, sitting at the feet of Jesus, he says, well, I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to be angry with you. But there's just something that can never be taken away from this woman that is sitting at my feet. That is my presence. She's learned to engage me. She's not working through a medium. I was preaching at Worcester this morning, and I said to the people, sometimes, and especially in the charismatic church, we get so used to almost hearing the voice of God through other people, or through sermons, or through church experiences. And it was never determined and or destined to be like that. God wants you to hear His voice firsthand. Get revelation from Him. And that's what Jesus said. You know, don't be so busy. Martha, Martha, you are worried about many things. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. There's a place of waiting. There's a place of anticipation. And once we come to that place of a openness, of opening up our hearts, and I really want to say to us tonight that when we talk about being hungry, did you know that your appetite, you determine your appetite. If you are going to eat McDonald's and fast food and fill yourself with certain stuff, do you know you determine what you want to eat? Hello? Eat fast food, drink Coca-Cola for 2 weeks, and you know what? You're going to be addicted. It's as simple as that. You're going to crave for that. And I want to ask you very simply, what are you craving for tonight? What are you thirsty for? What are you hungry for? Are you longing? I love what David writes, you know, in Psalm. He says, you know, my soul faints for God. You know, he says, I hunger for Him. My flesh cries out for Him. He says, I've come to such a place that my body and my soul begins to respond and just say, God, you're all that I want. You're all that I ever needed. I desire you. There's nothing that can fulfill me, like we're saying tonight, nothing that can fulfill me outside of you. So some people are looking for miracles. Some people are running for a touch from God. Some people are like saying, well, the more knowledge I get, the more I'm going to get to know God. But not one of those things will help you to actually look God in the eyes. It's very simply, it's just a hunger inside. And when we just become honest as where we are, like Jesus says there, He says, all I want to tell you, come and buy from me, because I actually want to tell you, you're miserable, you're naked, you're really not making it. But I want you to know that, because the moment when you acknowledge that and you just open up the door, I'm going to come in and feast with you. I'm going to do it. But really simply, you and I must open up our hearts to Him. Can I have another amen? Yeah. Now it's getting very silent in this place. Lekker, lekker. You know, I was in this week, I went to Ireland. And for some of you who know the history of Ireland, Ireland is there's the Protestants and the Catholics, and these people have been fighting over many years, planting bombs and killing each other in the name of religion. Religion kills, you know, in such a way that there's some of those towns that the Catholic people won't drive through the Protestant town. They will drive around the Protestant town to get to the other Protestant town. And the other way, the Protestants and the Catholics, they just don't mix. And the most amazing thing, 2 years, was it 2 years ago or last year? I can't remember which one. What happened is we were having at Fintana, is this place. I love the Irish. They're very passionate people. Yeah, they say, do you want a wee bit of tea? That is, do you want a little bit of tea? You want a wee bit of tea? You know, just like that. They just like this quick and stuff. It's sort of just like one measure, one thing. That is the angel phoning. Okay. But very simply, what happened that evening is was the second night of a large gathering. And it was sort of in a horse stable place. And there was 2,000 people in Fintana, but there were 3,000 people there at the meeting. Can't figure that really out, but they came from all over the place. And I'll never forget it, that evening, as we were standing on this, or Angus was preaching on the stage, and we were all sitting at the back, at a stage in the middle of the sermon, he sort of just said to people, but what do you want God to do for you today? And the next moment, there was a lady 3/4 of the way to the back. She just started to she jumped up and she just screamed. But now you must understand, Catholic and Protestant people, very religious, very reserved, dignified. You don't scream. You don't do stuff out of the. You don't lift your hands. All that stuff. It's like ready, ready, like. And here this lady jumps up at the back. She screams out. She says, "I want peace. I want peace." Yeah. And she came running to the front. And the next moment, it was like a wall that just broke loose. And the people started to weep. I've never seen so many people cry, but it's not a weeping like trying to hide it. It was like a sobbing from the inside, like actually God came to heal them, break some things loose. And the meeting went out for about 2.5 hours of people just weeping. We were just, and in the middle, when this lady just came to the front, then the people started to come to the front, and they were just lying there and weeping, and we were all lying on the stage, and Angus just said, "Well, I don't know what to do right now, but I think my sermon is over. Let's just worship God." Yeah? So there we were lying, and everybody was crying, and everybody was weeping. And then a lady came to us afterwards. She's a gypsy. A gypsy is like a traveler. They go in their little caravans, and they drive through from town to town in Ireland and Europe, and they just, they're sort of just floating around, these really weird people, okay? Then she told us a story. She said, "No, do you know what? I came and I was driving through the town last night. Then I had a dream. I dreamed that I must come and ask a certain Mr. Angus Buchan," like she says, "Buchan, what I need to do with my life. I dreamt that. So this morning, I woke up and I remembered the dream, and I went to the pub. And as I went to the pub about 9 o'clock, after my second beer, I remembered the dream again. And I was thinking, oh, Angus Buchan, this man somewhere. So I asked the bartender, does he know a certain Angus Buchan? Because maybe this guy is around. So the guy said, no, he doesn't know somebody like that, but he knows there's somebody speaking at the horse stable place. And and there's a poster up 500 meters from here, 300 meters from here. She must just walk down and maybe she can get information. So she walks down the road. She gets to this place. There's a poster there. She looks at the poster and says, oh, a meeting tonight. Great. So she gets all of her keys. She comes to the meeting and she gives her heart to God. She weeps uncontrollably. That was 2 years ago. Last Saturday evening, guests who drove all over Ireland to come to the meeting where there were like 4,000 people. We had 14 bomb scares and all that stuff before the meeting. And people just came because people were hungry. And here comes this lady. But she didn't come alone. She brought a whole bunch of prostitutes with her. Many of them came to salvation through her life. Many came to salvation that evening. And you know what? All the protocol and all the people, but she came right to the front. She just barged through the gate. She just broke the gate open. She came right up at the back of the stage, and there she stood. She said, "I'm here again. I am so hungry for God's touch because He touched me last year, and I've been living on that one touch. But look here what I have. Look at all these people. Oh, this lady here. You must pray for her because the baby in her stomach is dead, and we're trusting God that it's going to come alive. She needs to go to the doctor tomorrow, but we're going to trust God that He's going to resurrect that baby." And this lady, she's been in prostitution for about 17 years, but you know, God has set her free completely. But she just like babbles everybody's secrets out. You know, she just goes off, and then she's, you know, and I'm just standing there, and I'm beginning to weep. You know, I'm just standing there, and I'm thinking, God, those are the people you came for. But you know, the hunger inside of her made her drive all over Ireland to come there and to come and seek God, you know. And there's a desire to meet with God, and all the people around her is just like, yes, we want that. We want the real Jesus. We want the real thing. We want somebody that can tell us about who He really is. Somebody that's looked Him in the eyes, that can talk about that fire, can talk about His love, can talk about who He is, and can give that to us. So there she's standing with all these beautiful trophies of women that are, and some of them are still in prostitution, and some of them have been set free completely, and they're all just laughing, and you know, and then they stand there, and you know, It's sort of you just, that scripture comes to mind. I must look up to the mountains. Where some of my help come from? Because they're half naked almost, some of them. So you just look up there, you know, and when they want to give you a hug, you just say, oh, no, Lord, you know. But and then suddenly all your religion goes out the door because these people are so, actually so free. But there's one thing that's a difference between that lady and many other people is the fact that she's just so hungry for God. She's desiring God. And she'll do everything to experience the fullness of joy. And I was so challenged by that, because sometimes the presence of God just becomes so, we become so blasé with the things of God. And I want to ask you, how hungry are you tonight? What are you feeding yourself on? Because that will determine how much God can come and do. And God, Jesus said these profound scriptures, you know. He said, freely you have received, now freely give. He says, much has been given to you, much will be required of you. He says, just open up and I'm gonna flood you. I'm going to do stuff in your life and through your life. That was a good place to say amen. So Jesus, in John chapter 4, verse 32. I'm just busy with the introduction. Are you ready? Okay. John chapter 4. Verse 32. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. I love this. This is one of my favorite scriptures next to the other 3,000 in the Bible. It says here, but he said to me, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? And Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. They went to buy food. They went to think, well, Jesus must be very hungry. But he just ministered to a lady. And he said something specifically to that woman at the well. Because she was probably with a seventh husband already. She wasn't actually married to the guy because Jesus had a word of knowledge for her. And then Jesus makes this profound statement. He says to the woman, I'm thirsty. And she says, well, have you got nothing to draw water with? Then he says, no, don't worry about me. And then he made a profound statement to that lady. He said, if you drink of the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. Now, Jesus will not say something to somebody if it is not the truth. She was thirsty for lust, for acceptance, for love, for lots of things that the world gave her and that she got in these men. But Jesus said to her, if you come to drink of what I have, you will never thirst again. Whoa. My question tonight is, what in this world are you thirsty for? Hello. And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Last scripture for the evening. Are you ready? Then we're going to pray. Are you lacquer? Okay. Where do we start? Very simply, in James 4 verse 8, it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's very simple. Where must it start? It must start right in your heart. It starts with the honesty by opening up the door for Jesus and say, Jesus, I realize that I've got a challenge. I need more of you. I want to see you face to face. I want to drink of that water. I want to eat of the living bread. I want to begin to experience you. And scripture says very simply, the moment when you do that, God will come. Because it's not about your perfection. It's not about how great you are, how wonderful you are in any way. It's just about drawing near to him. Just saying, here I am, Lord. I am miserable. I feel depressed. I feel like this. This is happening in my life. But God, I'm drawing near to you. Hello. And the moment when you do that, the moment when you open up your heart towards God, you look him in the eyes, he will draw near to you. He'll come to show himself to you. Why? Because he's more eager to reveal himself to you than what you are to open up your heart to him. But it's very simply, like they say, the ball is in your court, in my court. The moment when we say, yes, God, I haven't got a clue even how to do it. But Lord, I want to be hungry for your word again. This Bible, my Bible is now at the back there, but this Bible of yours, God, I want to eat it up. Lord, make me hungry and thirsty for your manifest presence. And you know, the moment when that starts to happen, things begin to happen. I'm just preaching at myself tonight, okay? I've begun to experience the most amazing thing. I sit in the car and pray for the person in the car that stops in the robot at the robot next to me, and I say, God, just touch them with your presence. The next moment, that person begins to cry. He drives off. I'm sitting there at the green robot, shocked. And I'm thinking, what just happened there? Then I walk at the airport the one day. I stand there, and then a guy walks past me, 2 meters past me, and he stops. He's got like a normal walk. I'm busy chatting to a guy, and he walks past, and then the next moment he stops just like this. Turns around. Comes to me. Says, are you a Christian? I said, yes. I said, are you a pastor? I said, yes. He says, so am I. But the Holy Spirit arrested me when I walked past you. I want you to come to Kenya, because we're 32 pastors that came down here for, I don't know, 2 weeks to pray for revival to start in Cape Town that will flood the whole of the African continent. But the Lord just said to me, you're a child of His. I could feel God's presence over your life. And I'm beginning to say, Lord, I want more of that. I want to hug people and they get healed. I want to walk past people and shadows will heal them. Because that's what the presence of God does in your life. Have you read your Bible lately? It is so exciting when you start to partner with God and you start to realize, but it's very simply, don't be hungry for those things. Be hungry for Him. Be thirsty for Him, because then suddenly other people, because Scripture says, when you know the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen is fountains of life are going to spring up from your innermost being. It says water is going to just flow over. It's going to flood over. And what's going to begin to happen is others are going to come to drink from that water that the Holy Spirit gives us. Will you stand with me tonight? You see, when we, I'm going to tell you another story. Because some people, unfortunately, you know, what we do is sometimes we think, oh, you know, maybe we must get some more persecution so that we can be like the church in the East, in China. But you know, persecution and stuff like that, I believe, is God's second choice. God always wants to reveal Himself firsthand to us. But Scripture is very clear that if we would humble ourselves, 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14, if we pray and seek His face and turn from our wicked ways, God will come in and heal our land. It's as simple as that. Revival starts in your heart. Starts in a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. Starts when God starts to speak to you so clearly about things that He's planned for you, things that is in His heart, even for our nation. And when we start to open up our hearts, you know, we go to China, and I've been in China, and then you come into that meeting where it's so packed. The meeting is probably twice the size, the meeting place that we were in. And they said, we're going to have a worship service tonight. And so I'm so excited. And they said, but just be careful. It's going to take us a while to get to the service, but don't worry, we'll get there eventually. So now we're in Beijing, we're walking up, and I got a Chinese guy with me, and then all the other guys, everybody's got like, and there we go into different directions. First we go to the coffee shop, and I'm thinking, now what on earth is happening? Now we're just sitting down in the coffee shop. And the guy says to me, just come with me, just wait a moment, don't rush. We've got the whole day for church, but it's going to take us about 4 hours to get into the church, to get to the church service. Because we must do it secretly. So you just relax and just come with me. So after about 3 hours, we get into the church service, and it's twice as long. So it's, this is a good, thanks, Tiens. You're very sharp, eh? So here we come into the church service, and I've got it now. For 3 hours, he's been telling me about the worship service that we're going to have. And I am so excited. I'm going to think, well, they're probably going to sing in Chinese, and I'm going to sing in tongues or whatever, and we're just going to like go for it. We're going to enjoy the moment. It's going to be so amazing. So we walk up to this place, and he says, now that the service has started about a half an hour ago, they're worshiping God. I walk up, and I'm thinking, what on earth is happening here? Because it must obviously be soundproof inside, because there's I can't hear them singing anything, and there's no drums and there are no guitars, but they've got a worship service. So he says to me, when you get in, just be very quiet. Be silent. I think, okay, I'll do that. So I walk into the service, and we're coming in at the back, and the place is packed. Everybody on their knees, worshiping God. It's going like this. And it went on for 4 hours without saying a word. And people were weeping, and the presence of God just came into the place. People that were hungry for God. They didn't need a guitar to psych them up. That was the moment that changed my life. I just wept for the rest of the day. Because I realized, God, I want to be hungry like that. But Lord, I know that you've placed me in a Western society. So I'm not going to run to China and run to all these places to experience you. I can experience you right here. But Holy Spirit, you need to help me. Because the church in the West, we are backslidden. We are so comfortable. We are so in control of our lives. We actually don't need God. That's what we think. But the most amazing thing is when God begins to anoint your eyes again to see, firstly, that you're miserable. You know, that you cannot make it, that you're rich, that you need to go and buy food and gold and things from him with money that you don't have, Scripture says. Just come. You must go and buy it, but there's a transaction that must take place. How can you buy something with money that you don't have? And Scripture says, just it's very simply, it's about looking God in the eyes and saying, God, I want that. Don't want this anymore, I want that. Question is this evening, how hungry are we? And how thirsty are we for the living God? Because the Holy Spirit wants to start breathing things in our heart. He wants to tell you stuff about the heart of God. He wants to reveal things to you. But it's only when we open up our hearts. And are you willing to do that tonight? Because we're going to start right here by just being very honest with him. And I'm going to ask you to do something very bold without any music at this moment playing. If you know that you have become satisfied with things, this world, distractions, things that are just keeping you away from that deep desire and that hunger to worship him. You've started to worship other things. You've started to just grow cold in your heart. And you've sort of started just to sort of get to the place where it's just sort of normal for you not to experience God. Because we can organize God out of our lives. We can get so organized even in church that God has got no room to move. But if God is speaking to you tonight, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. I'm going to ask you to come to the front. Because we're going to just pray together. We're going to just be honest with God together. And then the Holy Spirit is going to take your words and your heart. And he's going to begin to open that up. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never committed your life to Christ. Then what an opportunity to say, Lord, for the first time, I want you to come and take control of my life. I surrender all. And the moment when we do that, the moment when we open up ourselves, that's when God begins to say to you, I want to show myself to you. Jesus said, I will manifest myself to those who love me. And that word for manifest is mean I'll come to put myself on show. I've come to show or portray myself towards you so that the whole world can see who I am in your life and through your life. So if God is speaking to you, maybe there's nobody, but I want you to come to the front quickly because we're going to just pray a prayer in front. And we're going to say to God, God, and I want us to come in a specific way. I want us to kneel down tonight if you want to come to the front. And normally it's just the younger people that come, but I want to ask the older people if God is speaking to you. And that we just open up our hearts. And it's not about the kneeling, it's really just about our hearts. It's about that place where we open up ourselves and we say to God again, God, nothing in this world will satisfy me outside of you. Nothing, God, can quench my hunger and my thirst for you. And we're going to pray a simple prayer together. Is that all right? We're not going to try to be perfect. We're not going to try to be smart with God. We're not going to be trying to do anything weird or anything. We're just going to be very honest. We're going to say to God, God, I thank you for life. Thank you for the freedom that you have brought to me on the cross of Jesus Christ. Dear people, will you just come and Peter, with you come and burn up. And we're going to, can we get some oil here? We've got some oil. We can just anoint some people. Thanks, Tienz. And some of those other guys, Tienz, you and Cornell. But I want you to come and kneel in front before we're going to pray for people. Where's Edward and some of the people that came with me? And we're going to just for a moment be silent before God. I'm going to pray that our souls will start to be quiet again. Because we're rushed, we're busy, we run around many times. But the most amazing thing is God is on the move. God is busy showing himself as a powerful God. And so, Lord, here we kneel before you tonight. Already, Father, tonight, without any music, without, Lord, trying to psych ourselves up, Lord, without nice and good prayers, without, Lord, all those things, we come to bring you our hearts again. And tonight, Father, we're standing before you naked. We're kneeling before you miserable, wretched, all those words that you use there in Scripture. And Lord, yet we acknowledge that there's nothing we can actually do about that to change ourselves. Not trying harder, Lord, not praying harder, not fasting harder, not worshiping harder, Lord, not trying to be a better person, nothing, Lord. None of those things can change us except your presence. And so, Lord, that's what we do tonight, is we invite you again. We draw near to you. We open up our hearts. So, Lord, that you will come and again ignite our hearts, Lord, with a flame that cannot be stopped, Lord. That cannot die, Lord. A flame of fire, Lord, from what we've seen in your eyes, Lord, your love and your compassion and your desires. So I want us to pray a simple prayer together. Will you pray with me? Lord, I come before you and I surrender all. Come take me. Take all of me. Everything, Lord. Tonight I put myself on the altar and I surrender all. I give up control and my own desires. And Lord, I repent for the things that I've quenched my thirst with that is not your Spirit. Lord, I say tonight, I'm miserable and cannot change myself. But I thank you that in your presence, there is fullness of joy, life forevermore. And I've come into your presence tonight by the blood of Jesus. And I give you my heart. I say to my soul tonight, be still and know that he is God. Be still. Every storm, every confusion, every fear, and know that he is God. He is the Alpha and Omega, the source of my life. And Lord, I say to you tonight, I've come to buy gold. I've come to buy water and food with money that I don't have. Come and fill me once again. Stir inside of me once again my first love for you, so that nothing else will satisfy. Thank you that you are in love with me. Teach me what it means, Lord, to be in love with you. I pray that tonight in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song while these guys just anoint everyone here. Debbie, can you say, or do you want, one of you want to sing, "It's All About You, Jesus"? We're going to just anoint everybody, and I'm going to ask you, once you finish with the people in front, we're going to anoint everybody at the back. We're going to pray for each other. And what we're going to specifically do, we're not going to put oil in your eyes, but we're going to just put it over here in front of your head, but we're going to pray for eyes to open up again. Just to see God. Just to restore the joy of our salvation. Just to bring us back to that place where where that fresh water is all we want and all we need, and where we get excited every day. There's some people here, there's a lady here specifically, and the Lord has showed me that you're under intense, there's like intense heavy clouds over your life. And it's like it's just weighing you down, and it's just coming in wave upon wave. But there's a depression in your life, and it's sort of just like weighing on you. And there's like worries about, especially people in relationship that you're in, that are just really bogging you down at the moment. And there's lots of storms going on, and the Lord wants to just release His peace over your life. While every eye's closed, will you show me who that is? Because I want to pray for you specifically. That lady, is that you? We're gonna pray for you. We'll come to you now. We're gonna anoint. We're gonna trust God. There's also somebody here that is struggling with intense back pains here at the back, and you can't walk straight up. You can't. There's not like a you're struggling physically a lot, and the Lord wants to heal you. Is there somebody like that? But especially pains, stump muscle pains, muscle cramps and stuff that you get. Is there anybody like that? We want to pray for you. Is that you, lady? Okay, will you just go to that lady? We're gonna just pray for her. There's also somebody that is and I'm gonna try to say it sensitively, but there's a in a relationship in a there's a family, and the family has been there are certain parties of the family, one person specifically, that you don't talk to anymore. It's like you're not on speaking terms, and it's been like that 2 years. I get the word 2 years in your life, and there's not. It's just like a place that you actually don't want to go. But that thing actually worries you a lot, because it actually holds you back from just having a freedom and a freedom of relationship. And the Lord wants to heal you because He wants to show you that He wants to restore. But in your heart, it feels a bit hard. It just feels that there's no way that you can do that. Because it just seems like you're too far down the road already. While every eye is closed, can that person, I just want to pray for you specifically also. If you want to just show yourself to me, is that you? Okay, great. We're gonna pray that God will restore that, because God does that. God is the one who heals. God is the one who saves. There's somebody here with there's a skin. You've got skin problems, and there's like these red stuff that, what do you call it, red round stuff, circle stuff, and it's like an irritation on your skin that sometimes it's really increases, and sometimes it's just like hectic and people have said it's the bread that you eat, and then you try to change that, and then other stuff, and it's always like this and that, and you're trying lots of stuff, and it's been coming for more than a year already, for quite a while. In your life, where's that person? I want to pray for you that maybe it's somebody's family member here, but there's specific stuff. Is that you? Is it you or a family member? It's you specifically. Okay, Cornell, will you go and pray for? We're going to just anoint people, because you know God speaks to us and He knows specifics of what's going on in our hearts and in our lives, because the presence of God is here tonight just to release us and to set us free. There's somebody here tonight. It sounds like a very simple thing. But the Lord showed me that you just actually, what you need is you need somebody to come and hug you. There's just, because you've just got a desire that somebody will just come and hug you. and it's actually just a spiritual thing that you're looking for, but it's actually in the natural. Something is going to just, you know, you just need some comfort. And the Lord wants to do that. But He actually wants to use somebody to come and do that in your life. Can you show me who you are? Because I want to send somebody to you. If it's a lady, I'll send it to a lady. And is there anybody like that? You just have this deep, almost sense of loneliness and this desire just for a closeness with God. And you know what I'm talking about. Is that you? Okay, we'll send the lady. We won't send a guy. So, Father, we just thank You tonight, Lord, as we sing these songs, that You want to bring a freedom in our hearts, a freedom again to worship You. And we thank You, Father, as we open up our hearts and we say, Lord, it's all about You, Jesus. Thank You that You even gonna heal people here tonight, physically, Lord. Lord, heal people. There's somebody here afraid of cancer. You're actually afraid that you're gonna have cancer. I don't know if you've had some stuff in your life, and it's sort of just this fear. and you haven't really gone maybe even to the doctor, but you've got an intense fear. Is there anybody like that that I want to pray for you? Because there's this fear that you're going to either get cancer and it just comes to visit you regularly. And the Lord wants to heal you. The Lord wants to break just that yoke of the lies over your life. Is there anybody like that? I want to pray for you. Is that you? Okay, great. We're going to send another lady to you. No. So, Father, we just thank you, Lord, that all our fears, all our stuff, we're just very honest and open with you tonight. But you are here. So we've come, Lord, to bow our knees to you and just to say, Lord, we're here to worship you. Thank you for freedom, Lord, because even when you say these things and you know these things of what's going on in our hearts, Lord, the fear of death, the fear of failure, the fear of rejection, Lord, those things are just nothing in relation to your voice and to your presence. And Lord, we come to invite you into our houses, into our workplaces, into our cars, Lord. Come and fill us, Lord. Come and show us, Lord. Lord, that there will be a longing for your return again, Lord. Because God, so many of us in the church have lost, Lord, a desire for your return, Lord. It's just because we're just so distracted, Lord. But tonight we ask that you, as we anoint these eyes, Lord, these people's eyes and our own eyes, Lord, we ask, Lord, come and put salve on it, Lord. Come and anoint us so that we can see you again. Lord, that you visit us through dreams and visions. Lord, there's some of us that have experienced that years ago, Lord, and you want to unleash again, Lord, that passion and that zeal and those dreams and the prophetic words, Lord. But Lord, sort of the stream has dried out a little bit in some lives. And Lord, tonight you want to just reignite. You want to let those rivers just flood our lives again. Hallelujah. Let's all going to stand and we're going to sing that song. And then if you, I can't remember now all the words that were there, but if you need healing in your body, won't you just tell the person praying for you? And then we're going to pray for each other. Maybe we did not say specific stuff, but you've got physical pains or stuff. Jesus still heals. Amen. And we're going to pray that God will heal you. Because God does not want us to walk in pain or in fear or any stuff like that. That's just who He is. He cannot do anything else but save and heal and deliver us. That's Him. Okay. And before we're going to sing that, I just felt to share, and I know we're going on a little bit longer. But something that God has just said to me, just over and over in the past couple of weeks, He said to me very simply, when you come and you go to a doctor, you don't sort yourself out before you go to the doctor. And you don't diagnose the problem before you go to the doctor. You don't have a list of the medicine that you need before you go to the doctor. All you do is you walk up to the doctor, you make an appointment with the doctor, and you say to the doctor, "Doctor, I've got a pain here. But I haven't got a clue how it's going to be fixed or how it got there." And then let the doctor do the fixing. Jesus said, "I came for sinners. I did not come for the righteous." Now, let's be honest. All of us here are a bunch of sinners that need a doctor and a savior and a healer and a deliverer. And we just open and say, "Lord, I'm clueless." That's where we start, just the honesty. But Lord, you need to give me some pills. The gospel. Stuff like that. This is the freedom of the word of God. I need the truth. I need you to release your truth over me. And I want to say to some people here, there's specific people, before we're going to pray for this healing, there's specific people that feel very worthless tonight. Specifically, you just feel like, whoa, you know, I feel very worthless. I want to say to you that God has placed worth on your life through the blood of Jesus. I want every eye to be closed. And if you're that person, I want to pray for you for a prayer before we're going to start. That God, that you just discover that God celebrates you. If there's anybody like that, won't you just lift your hand? Father, thank you. Thank you for these hands, Lord. We just release your worth and your blood over these people, Lord, because you have placed value on every person here by the blood of Jesus. No more lying, no more accusation, no more guilt and shame, because, Lord, you don't focus on those things. You celebrate us. And we thank you for that freedom. Can we sing? And as we sing, we're going to just anoint each other. Hallelujah.